From coast to coast and around the world, this is Kaleidoscope, America's most exciting radio magazine. Stay tuned for more.
Hey, 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 welcome to the Dana Brinkland Radio Show for KCLA. I am your host, Dana Brinkland. And today I have a guest with me, and I told you guys about AIDS Life Cycle 2014. That is something that I just signed up to do. Well, today I have a guest here who is one of the reps. She's actually a rep for my team, Team Goodestness. And we are going to talk about AIDS Life Cycle and what your money does, what we should be eating, those of us who are on the ride, different things like that. Her name is Kaylin. Say your last name for me.
LaFontaine.
LaFontaine. Thank you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm super excited to be here.
And we are definitely excited to have you. So how long have you been riding with AIDS Life Cycle, or how long have you been a rep? How long have you been involved with this?
So I originally got involved in 2011, which was AIDS Life Cycle 10. Okay. And I started as a rider, and I rode that year with my mom and my uncle and a few friends. We came from the East Coast and did the ride. And about halfway through the ride, I was like, this is the best thing I've ever done in my entire life. Mm-hmm. And I signed up for the following year. When I got back home to the East Coast, I quit my job and I moved out here. So I've been involved in at least some capacity with AIDS Life Cycle for going on 4 years.
Wow. And were you a cyclist before you did that?
I had been a triathlete, and I had run marathons and things like that. I wasn't by any means like a seasoned cyclist.
Okay.
It was more like I'll get on the bike and do what I have to do for 20-something miles, you know, in a triathlon, but I wasn't by any means an expert.
Okay, so how did you train? You were on the East Coast, right?
Mm-hmm.
So obviously it wasn't all sunny and pretty like it is out here.
No.
So how were you training for the ride?
So I had actually, when I was the first year I did the ride, I was doing marathon training, and a friend had come to me and was like, this will be a really cool challenge, you should, you know, sign up for AIDS Life Cycle. So when I signed up, I didn't really focus on cycling much at all. I did some indoor spinning at like my YMCA that I was a member of. And I had just been running a ton and doing cross training. So I actually only rode my bike maybe once before actually coming out here, because we had had a really terrible winter and there was snow on the ground up until the end of April. So I didn't log many miles in the saddle at all.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Well, you made it, so that's good.
Yeah.
And that was how you got involved with AIDS Life Cycle, but how did you go from that riding and then moving out here to what you are now, representative?
So I kind of, you know, my whole life I was working in the finance industry. I was a financial manager at a bank, which was a great learning experience and good money, but I never had a passion for it, and I never felt like I was doing right by the world doing it, you know?
Okay.
It was one of those jobs that was kind of miserable, and you just go to it to bring home that paycheck.
Just to get paid?
Yeah. And when I did AIDS Life Cycle, I literally, every single day, I fell in love with someone. I cried. I laughed. It was such an all-encompassing experience, and just made me realize that I wanted to do something more philanthropic as a career. So I just kind of decided. I was like, I took a chance. Basically, I was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do something in this field. And I moved out here and I applied for every single job they ever posted.
Wow.
And I started as a consultant doing a project for them.
Okay.
And then they offered me a term position for 3 months. And I hemmed and hawed over it a little bit and finally made the decision that I have to take this risk and hope that it turns into something more. So I started in February of last year. In a recruitment position, term position. It was a 3-month position. Mm-hmm. And when the term ended, they offered me a full-time recruitment position.
Wow.
So I worked in recruitment until August of this year, and then I became a cycle rep.
Okay.
Which is like my absolute dream job. I get to go into work every day and talk to people all over the world about something that I care deeply about. So it's not even really work. It's fun.
Right. Exactly. That's when you know you have the job you're supposed to have when you're not working. So explain to the listeners why is everybody like you were just talking. I'm sure people can tell by listening to you how passionate you are about AIDS Life Cycle. And I know when I was recruited, my team captain was just jumping up and down, just crazy about this thing. And now I'm the same way. I'm talking to friends and family. Yeah. Why is everybody just so passionate about this?
Why do you think? I think there's a lot of kind of components that make it up, but it's being part of something so much bigger than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And the community. I mean, the people that you meet have incredible stories.
Right.
And they care so much and so deeply about people they've never met and they don't know, but they want to do something to help the greater good. And I don't know. I think it's, I know I'm sound like probably like a naive optimist, but I honestly think it's human nature to want to do right by others.
I think so too.
And when you start doing it, I get like so emotional talking about it. I get all choked up, but when you start doing it and you realize how good it makes you feel and the effect it has on other people, you don't ever want that to stop.
Right. Exactly. And what are some of the things I've noticed that there were some things that I did not know when I first went on my first training ride? We talked about this off air, but so I went on one training ride. I didn't know anything, and I had to pay for that. And then I went on my second training ride yesterday, which was actually pretty good. So what are some of the things that first timers should know that may be pretty and may not be so pretty?
The number one thing is no underpants under bike shorts.
Right.
And bike shorts in general. A lot of people don't realize that they should wear a padded bike short when you're doing so many miles. And a lot of people wear underpants under their bike shorts, which you should not do because it causes intense chafing.
Okay.
And then I would say the main thing, too, is hydration. I think a lot of people don't realize, like, oh, well, I don't feel thirsty. And that is, like, it can do you in so quick. Like, you need to drink before you're thirsty. That's what we always say. Drink before you're thirsty, eat before you're hungry, because it's so key to keep, when you're, you know, logging 100 miles a day for 7 days straight, you need to make sure you're taking care of your body. And it's,
but on the training ride as well, right? On training rides.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the average person doesn't cycle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's
right.
You're wearing a helmet, so you're sweating, and your whole body is engaged. I mean, it's your core, your legs, everything. You're doing a lot of work that you don't even realize. So you really need to make sure you're well hydrated.
Okay. And I know when I've been on my training rides, they share electrolytes. And what does that do?
Basically just helps with your salts that you're losing and your blood sugar.
Okay.
Just kind of rehydrating you and getting you because when you're just drinking water, you actually sometimes are flushing out your electrolytes, which you don't necessarily want to do, because then you'll have muscle cramping and fatigue and you won't recover as quickly.
Okay.
So it's really important to replenish your electrolytes as well.
Okay. And what should our diets be like while we're, I know my team captain is a vegetarian and probably not many people eat like her.
Yeah. Yeah, she's an enigma.
Right. We might not be able to actually copy her.
Yeah.
But what could we do to just, you know, what are some energy foods?
I mean, I think it's so personal just based on each individual's body and your makeup.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say definitely eating a balanced diet and cutting out the crap. Like, I know for myself, the older I get, the more I realize, like, if I eat pancakes for breakfast and then I go on a ride, I'm going to feel like crap. I'm going to have a headache. I'm going to feel
tired. That sounds like a bad idea.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I've found for myself eating lots of deep green vegetables.
Okay.
You know, eating sweet potatoes. Like, if you need carbs, you don't need to go for the white bread. You need to go for the stuff that's going to be sustaining.
Okay.
So my recommendation is always lots of vegetables, lots of water, fruits, like the healthy natural foods that are in season.
Okay.
Is my main advice.
Right. And before a training ride, I guess you would eat like a good breakfast, but not a heavy breakfast.
Yeah, I would eat something that's really well balanced, and that's not going to weigh you down or make you tired.
Okay. And so give me an example. So we've all been running around. Could you give me some money for this? And we all come up with our own little nice, pretty stories. And you come up with different stories for this person to ask this person for money. I'll say it this way. And for this person, I'll say it that way. But give me an example of somebody contributing and their money at work. What does their money do?
So for the Los Angeles-based riders, anyone that's registered in Southern California, their money is allocated to the LA Gay and Lesbian Center.
Okay.
And some of the programs that those funds support, I mean, obviously there's HIV testing. So anyone can go into the center and get tested, find out the results. Once you find out your results, if you find out you're positive, they don't send you out into the world. You immediately get hooked up with a counselor.
Okay.
you get brought down to the pharmacy that's there to get your meds and get you started on a program.
Okay.
There's also prevention. So there's education about how to prevent. There's safe sex knowledge that's inputted. We have a youth center at the LA Gay and Lesbian Center where they they do overnight housing for homeless youth so that they're not on the streets because that puts them at risk.
Right.
There is a GED program that they do for them. Then there's job placement. It's kind of a whole life process. So it's not just, oh, we'll get you your meds. It's prevention, it's treatment, it's education. There's so many facets to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, okay, so for the person who wants to donate, but they don't believe in homosexuality, that's against their religion or whatever. For the people that are riding out of Los Angeles or that our stuff is based in Los Angeles, is the money only going to homosexuals or, you know, do they help straight people with AIDS or do they try to stop straight people from getting AIDS? Right. I mean, they're babies with AIDS. Yeah. They're young people with AIDS that are not homosexuals. What do they get help?
Absolutely. And I think that's a huge piece of the ride is breaking down the stigma.
Okay.
You know, AIDS doesn't discriminate.
Exactly.
Anyone can get it. You know,
right.
I mean, we had a woman on the ride a couple years ago who was a nurse in a hospital and was taking care of someone that was a drug user, not necessarily homosexual, not straight. No one knows because that's not something you even, you know, you ask that person, but she was stuck and then contracted it.
Oh
so,
my God.
And you know, she was a mom, married, straight woman. Like it's anyone can get it. And, you know, youth get it. We were talking a little bit before about the youth program is, I think, my favorite piece of the LA Gay and Lesbian Center, but you know, there's youth that are kicked out of their homes or are homeless and are on the streets.
Right.
They're, you know,
but they help straight youth as well?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
It's not like you walk in the door and it's, oh, are you gay or are you straight? You know, it's oh, you need help. Let's help you. It's a human.
Okay. I know that, but I want
other people
to know. Right.
Yeah. I wish there was a screenshot of my face when you said that because I was so appalled. Like, no, it's, you know, anyone can go there.
No, you weren't. I just wanted you to know and the listeners to know that I actually knew that, but I wanted the listeners to know, you know, do they really, you
absolutely,
know, yeah, there's no thing like you got to walk inside and say, I'm gay. Will you help me?
God, no.
Right. No. Okay. So it's pretty cool.
It's breaking down that stigma and getting people to realize everyone is at risk.
Right.
You know, I'm a, you know, 26-year-old straight woman and there's, you know, been times that you're with someone and you think you're in a monogamous relationship. You find out
and
you're
not. Exactly.
That's terrifying.
Right. Exactly.
You know what I mean? And we all have to worry about that. We all have to protect ourselves, educate ourselves, and we can all go there if we need help, support, any of that.
Okay, exactly.
Yeah.
So there you have it, listeners.
Yes.
Your money helps straight people, too.
It helps everybody.
Exactly.
Old, young, black, white, gay, straight.
Right, everybody.
The spectrum.
Exactly, babies. So now, you know, some people are having trouble raising money. What would you suggest? What are some things that they can do to help them get more money to their cause?
I think we're in such an age of like kind of we've lost the realization that face-to-face contact is really key.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, you know, when I was fundraising, I sent out emails to people or
Me too.
Did a Facebook message, which can be helpful. Like, you know, I did a Facebook message and I got donations from people I went to high school with that I never would have thought to ask.
Right.
But we can't forget about the importance of a face-to-face conversation because if I'm writing you an email, you don't necessarily see how passionate about this cause I am or how important it is to me or all the work I'm doing.
Okay.
If I sit down and have a conversation with you or if I give you a call on the phone and tell you, know, like, this is something that I feel really passionate about, I want to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really key is having those heartfelt conversations with people and knowing what you want to ask for.
Okay.
So, you know, you're really great whenever you are doing a little push for your fundraising, like, this is where I'm at, this is where I want to be, help me hit this goal. It's really good to have a concrete focus of where you want to be and what's going to get you there.
Okay. Nice. And let me see. Well, you know what? I want you to talk about that, but we're going to take a break.
Sure.
And then when we come back, you'll let us know about that. Okay, so you guys have been listening to the Dana Brinkland Radio Show for KCLA. You know, we have to pay bills, so we will be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Down here, it's your mouth. Listen up. Let's get some things straight, okay? A, I'm not a bottle opener, all right? B, wait until the pizza cools down. I'm tired of having the roof peeled for 3 days. And for Pete's sake, buy me some Coolman Listerine. It's proven to kill the germs that can cause gingivitis, which, by the way, 2 out of 3 mouths get before we're 25. So get some, huh? Otherwise, you might find me, your mouth, saying a little something unexpected on your next date, like, "Hi, my name's Mike, and I just love biting my toenails." Capiche?
See your dentist. Use as directed when brushing and flossing aren't enough.
Dude, have you ever heard of High Times magazine?
Sure, dude, it's the best.
Well, High Times is having a radical 25th anniversary party.
No way, can I go?
Maybe. They're having a contest. All you have to do is go to their website, www.hightimes.com, and you can find out how you can win a trip to New York to party with the High Times crew.
Wow, High Times. How can this ad even be on the radio?
Dude, I don't know.
Void where prohibited, which may be practically everywhere. No purchase necessary. However, we feel it would be a splendid idea to buy High Times magazine regardless. Must be 18 years of age or older and a citizen of the planet.
What's that on your chin? And there's something on your nose. Actually, there's stuff all over your face. Don't worry, it's not crumbs from a late afternoon cupcake. It's the gunk left by your not-so-cleansing cleanser. See, Biore cleansers don't just move dirt around your face. Biore gets rid of dirt. The Biore Dirt Lock system surrounds oil and makeup so they rinse away completely, leaving absolutely clean skin. So wash your face with Biore cleansers and smile. Just check for spinach in your teeth. Biore. Clean. Honest.
It sits there looking like a candy bar in a nice orange wrapper, right? Reese's Nutrageous. Then you take a bite and it blows your eyeballs to Pluto, kicks your ribs to the roof of your mouth, pounds your taste buds into a simpering puddle of pulp and leaves you for dead. Want one, don't ya? Reese's Nutrageous. So loaded.
Chocolate.
Peanut. Caramel.
Reese's Peanut Butter.
You don't eat it. You survive it.
Welcome back to the Dana Brinklin Radio Show. We're still talking about AIDS Life Cycle 2014. So now what we're going to find out from Kaylin is, what is life like on the ride for those 7 days and 545 miles?
It is amazing. Mm-hmm. most of us arrive, when you're a cyclist or a roadie, you arrive actually the day before or ride out. So this year, ride out is June 1st.
Okay.
So everyone comes to Cow Palace in San Francisco the day before for orientation day.
Okay.
So when you arrive at Cow Palace, you have to go through a mandatory safety meeting.
Okay.
We're huge on safety. So I know a lot of, part of the controversy about cyclists is that people think cycling is unsafe, especially in LA. It's not a very big community.
And you know what? I thought, not to cut you off, but I definitely thought that cycling was horribly unsafe, just terribly unsafe, because I used to drive a bus, and I drove buses downtown, and messenger cyclists are awful.
They're
horrible. Every day when I was driving down there, I'm thinking to myself, one of these days I'm going to see the worst accident of my life. Yeah. Somebody's going to hit one of these guys, and they're going to go flying in the air. It's because they don't obey any of the rules. Mm-hmm. So it's good to know that we do it safely. And please definitely tell them more about our safety.
I mean, we are huge on safety. We are single file, no drafting, hand signals, and calling out. So if you indicating your intentions, so I'm going to make a left turn. I'm going to raise my arm, indicate the left turn, and I'm going to yell. Right. Project to cyclists around me, pedestrians, cars on the road, that I'm making a left turn.
Okay.
We don't allow anyone on the ride without a helmet.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a brake on your bike, so we don't allow people to ride with no brake.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah. And we go through extensive, we have training ride leaders, which, you've gone on a couple of our training ride.
Mm-hmm.
We put them through an 8-hour training in the classroom where they learn all about rules of the road, safety precautions, emergency tactics, things like that. So we're very, very focused on safety. So when people come to orientation day at Cow Palace, we, again, we're always reiterating the importance of being safe on the road.
Okay.
We have to get 2,500 cyclists from San Francisco down to California without closing down roads.
Right.
We want to do it as safe as possible, because if one person gets hurt or we get one permit pulled, that's it. We have no ride, and there's people depending on those funds.
Right, right.
So on orientation day, when you arrive, you again go through this safety meeting.
Okay.
And then we have a little expo that everyone can go through. There's Camp Store where we have a bunch of cool stuff. We have, sweatpants and jacket. I barely pack anything because I just spend all my money.
Right,
even
right.
as a staff person, I spend tons of money in the candy
listening
store.
Listening to, I'm like, oh, I can go shopping.
Yeah,
okay.
Really cute stuff. It's amazing. It really is a moving city, which I don't think people comprehend.
Mm-hmm.
But so then on June 1st, when we ride out from Cal Palace, you know, we have a little opening ceremony in the morning. We do our stretches. Lori Jean, who's the head of the LA Gay and Lesbian right. Center, speaks. And, I mean, listening to her speak is incredible.
I know. I got to hear her talk for the first time in person
yeah.
at the soiree that we just gave just recently. And that was just awesome. I was crying.
Talk about a tough lady. She is incredible.
Wow, she is. She's awesome.
Yeah. So she, you know, she speaks. Neil, who's the head of the SFAF, the San Francisco AIDS Foundation, they okay. speak. And then they send the riders off.
Okay.
So on a typical day, I mean, each day the mileage varies. An average day is about 80 miles. The longest day is 102 to 109.
I heard about that
exactly
yesterday.
What the route is. Yeah.
That sounds
scary. That's the tough day.
Okay.
And then the shortest day is 43 miles, and that's Red Dress Day.
Okay.
So
explain to them what Red Dress Day is.
So it was originally Dress Red Day because obviously the symbol for AIDS is the red AIDS ribbon.
Right.
And on that day, we go up switchbacks. So you are kind of cycling back and forth up the hills,
okay.
and it looks like a red ribbon if everyone wears red.
Oh, okay.
But obviously, we have a very theatrical community that loves to have fun and be silly, so it turned into Red Dress Day. So whenever you come on the ride, it's like one of the main things any veteran rider will tell you, like, have you already started planning your outfit for Red Dress Day? Because you right. have to wear something outrageous, basically,
right.
and tons of red. And
our team captain is trying to get us to get into that right now.
Yeah. The first year I did the ride, I was coming from the East Coast, and I had no idea.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I'll wear a red jersey. And uh-huh. I was, like, so ashamed of myself. I was like, man, I am, like, lacking creativity. Everybody's showing me up. I look like a fool. So you cannot overdo Red Dress Day, right. basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
We have teams that wear costumes every single day on the ride. I don't know how they fit all that elaborate mess in their suitcase, but they do it.
Right.
It's incredible.
But wait, okay, so you said suitcase. Now I have another question.
Yeah.
So who has all our stuff while we're riding?
So the roadies. So
okay.
we, usually on the ride, we have like 600 to 700 roadies that do everything.
Wow.
So they set up.
Hats off to them.
Yeah, they like. They do the hard work, let me tell you. My cousin, 1 year, rode with me. She was a cyclist. The following year, she was a roadie in bike parking, and she was like, that is the hardest thing I've ever done. Cycling is easy compared to that. Like,
what?
They, yes.
Wow.
They do, they're like the bones of the operation.
Okay.
Without them, we have nothing. They run the gear trucks. So,
okay.
You basically get assigned, from your tenting,
mm-hmm.
you get assigned a grid and a gear truck. So, say you're A.
Mm-hmm.
52. What that means is each night or each morning, you'll pack up your bag with all your stuff and you mm-hmm. bring it to truck A.
Okay.
The number then, so 53, that's where your place is in the tenting grid. So they carry your tent. You
mm-hmm.
have the same tent all week with a little tent chip on it, and we provide the tent.
Okay.
So they carry your tent and your bag for you to the next camp.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And then they unload the trucks. You just have to grab your bag and then look for your marker in the grid, basically.
Okay. So you said trucks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now how many riders actually do the ride?
We usually end up with about 2,200 to 2,300 on event.
So 2,300 people
mm-hmm.
and with all their stuff, bags and all. So you got to have trucks. You got to have gas to put in the trucks.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you get all this money to get these trucks and to put this gas in these trucks? And where does this money come from? Is this part of the money that we raise?
It's a small portion of it. I
mm-hmm.
mean, this past year, our cost of fundraising was below 30%, which is incredible.
Okay.
A lot of times events that are produced are, I mean, around 40 to 50% cost of fundraising, and
okay.
ours is, you know, below
less
30.
Than half.
Yeah,
okay.
we get, I mean, we work all year. We have a logistics team that works year round to, you know, barter deals and get us discounts or get things underwritten. So
okay.
there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that go into kind of getting as much donated as we can so
right.
that doesn't come away from those funds raised.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so 29%, I think, was the number we were at last year for the cost of fundraising.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah, so, I mean, 71% of what's fundraised goes directly to the organizations
wow.
and then to the programs that they fund.
Okay. And so what's the hardest day of the ride? I've heard that it was, what did they tell me? I heard that it was 3 and 4, and then I heard that it was 5. What did you think was the hardest day?
I thought 5 was. I don't know why. It's the shortest day, so that's Red Dress Day.
Right.
But I think you go through so many emotions the whole week. Like, mm-hmm. day two is hard because it's a long day, mm-hmm. but it's only your second day.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It was my first century I'd ever written. But day five, you're very close to the end. You're definitely tired.
Right.
And just the emotional ups and downs of the week. You know, you've been going through empty fields with headwinds, and it takes a lot of emotional and mental strength to get yourself that far.
Mm-hmm.
And day five, I think you're going into it also, I had the mindset of like, oh, it's 43 miles. It'll be so easy.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait. This day's going to be a piece of cake. I'm going to get into camp early.
Not like, true.
It's the, I swear it was all uphill. I don't know what it was.
Wow.
But it also might have just been that I was so tired and all.
Well, yesterday all I heard about this, something about evil twins. I guess there's this,
yes.
to these two hills. Is that on day five?
No, that's earlier in the week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but day five it's a hilly day and, uh-huh. you know, and you're tired. It's towards the end. And I found that to be definitely the most challenging.
Hmm. Okay, so.
But the good thing about its life cycle is, like, I cried, let me tell you. Like, on day five, I remember this distinctly. I was, there's always, like, markers letting you know how far lunch is or how far the next rest stop is.
Okay.
So I came up this huge hill, and it was so windy. And there was I think it was actually a staff person that was standing there with a sign that said, like, 2 miles to lunch. And she was like, and it's all downhill.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was all uphill. And I remember getting into lunch.
That sucks.
And I, like, ripped my helmet off, and I was like, ugh. And this guy goes, did that BIT, you know what, tell you it was all downhill? And I was like, yes. And he goes, I'm going to find her, and I'm going to kick her in the face because it was all uphill. So it was just like whatever you mentally set yourself up for. So I had set myself up thinking I was about to go downhill and it was going to be an easy 43 miles, and it was all uphill.
I'm getting a lot of good information because I was told yesterday while I was on my training ride, people say that this day is no hills, or they'll tell you there's no hill over there.
The whole thing has hills.
Yeah, they told me, they're like, don't believe any of it. There's
nope.
There's hills everywhere.
Yeah.
So I said, okay. But it makes sense because, I mean, we're talking about going from Northern California to Southern California. Well, Northern California is full of hills.
Yeah.
So, and it makes sense that there would be a lot of hills, especially the first day or so.
Yeah. I mean, it's gorgeous because of that, though. Like, you cross the Costa Range and you ride along the ocean. Like, it's absolutely breathtaking. It's really, really beautiful. It's an incredible way to see the, you know.
Exactly.
The coast of California.
That should help, being on the coast.
Yeah. There's also, like, there's random people that have nothing technically to do with the ride,
mm-hmm.
that stand on the road and will do things. Like, there's a guy, I don't remember what day it is, but he's an older guy, mm-hmm. and he works at like a Walmart or something, and he saves a portion of his paycheck for the whole year,
mm-hmm.
and then buys tons and tons of strawberries and hands strawberries to riders.
Oh, nice.
And
that's
just
very
like
cool.
Just says like, you're amazing, congratulations, like. And it's like this guy who just lives in this town and saw the ride one day and wanted to be part of it. It's like the people you meet, it's like, wow,
right?
It makes you realize how much of an impact you're having.
Exactly.
Kind of across the spectrum.
Right. I'm realizing now that I'm involved with this that there's a lot more good in the world than you think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of redeeming.
Yeah, it is. It is. And what, tell us some about some of the teams. Like I mentioned my team. My team is Team Goodness, and our whole thing is to spread goodness around and let people know that what I just said, there's more good in the world than bad. But what about some of the other teams? I don't really know about any of the other teams, but what kind of, you know, like, themes do they have? What are some of the other teams about? Or, what do they believe in?
Yeah. I mean, we have, there's a lot of teams. Mm-hmm. I mean, each foundation has a team. So, like, LAGLC has a team that basically anybody can join.
Oh,
San Francisco AIDS Foundation also has a team.
Oh, they have a team too?
Yep.
See, I didn't
Which
know
Which is compromised of, you know, people that work there or friends of friends. Like,
and they're able to ride?
Some of them, yeah. Like, some of the agency staff get to ride.
Okay.
It's mostly, like, the AIDS Life Cycle staff that we have jobs on the ride and don't get to actually ride. But we have all sorts of teams. There's Team Mary, which is a huge team, and they bring on, you know, new riders every year, and
mm-hmm.
they set different stipulations. So, like, I know for your team, I think everyone has to set at least a $3,000 limit,
right.
And even virtual cyclists.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Team Mary, I think, I want to say they have like a, you know, you have to commit to raise $5,000 and you have to commit to recruit another person for the following year.
Oh, wow.
So it's cool because the teams actually really help us with fundraising and retention and recruiting new people because they set different stipulations to be a member of the team. I have a team. So San Diego is my region.
Mm-hmm.
I have a Team San Diego. And then I also have a team that's down there that's, it's like 10 20-something straight guys, mm-hmm. covered in tattoos and piercings. Like, you would never think this is something that they'd be involved in. The sweetest guys I've ever met. And they are all riding fixed gears this year on the event. Yeah. And they are, like, they're so engaged, and they love AIDS Life Cycle. They love the community. But it's, like, it's cool to see people that you would not necessarily think would be a part of this be so engaged and so excited about it.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I'd love it.
We have Team Swiss, which comes from Switzerland each year. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
They actually,
they come every year.
Nice. That's very nice.
Yep. Yeah, so we have a lot of, we have people from everywhere. Mm-hmm. Team Funky Monkey is a team that has riders in, you know, New York, Northern California, Southern California, kind of all over the place.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you guys have it. My guest is Kaylin LaFontaine.
Yes.
Which is Team Goodness representative and for AIDS Life Cycle 2014. And you can donate to my page. Just go to, well, go to danabrinkland.com and just click on the AIDS Life Cycle button and you can donate to me. And thank you so much for coming here and giving all the writers information about what they should be doing, and also telling our guests, our contributors, our donators, where their money is going and how it's helping people.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so fun.
You're welcome. And thank you guys for listening to the Dana Brinkland Radio Show. I will see you all next week. Be blessed and have the greatest week of your life. Later.